Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Reason Magazine, with a very interesting breakdown of cable news and how it's officially over for them. And then I've got two great examples as to what they are talking about. One from what happened on, I think it was either Tuesday or Wednesday night on CNN with Scott Jennings, where he just obliterates a CNN anchor and basically says, it's our own network that reports what you are refuting, and then you will see the receipts, as well as what Catherine Herridge had to say in regards to how her bosses at CBS not only put up such a stink about the Hunter Biden laptop story, but also Catherine Herridge wanted to interview Elon Musk, and her bosses said no because we don't know what he will say. I mean, that spits in the face of journalism right there, in my opinion. We'll get to those quotes coming up, and I want to get Dawn's thoughts on this because Catherine Herridge is about as good as it gets. So we'll do that coming up in just a little bit. But round number two of the news, 7:04, speaking of the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, December 1st, 26 degrees out there, so bundle up. Yeah, December 1st, we are sponsored this morning in Kale & Company by Holland Floor Covering. So police investigating after a gunfire erupted on a street in South Philadelphia. We had a lot of different shootings yesterday, but in this one, some 20 shots were fired and people screaming. This was the 2100 block of South 9th Street. A 52-year-old man shot in the neck and his knee transported to a local hospital. He's in stable condition this morning. We have no weapons recovered. We have no motives. We have no arrests. But we have a man in the hospital in stable condition after being shot multiple times. Nobody else injured. Police investigation continuing. And then a 16-year-old boy reported in stable condition, although critical, this morning after he was shot multiple times. In North Philadelphia, officers responded to that shooting call in the 1900 block of Cecil B. Moore Ave. That was last night, about 7:30-ish, with gunshot wounds to the boy's back and abdomen, rushed to Temple University Hospital, where, as we often say, those doctors and medical professionals, nurses, are much like a triage unit in a war zone and saving these people's lives.
It's amazing, too, how many times it always seems to be Temple University Hospital. Is that just the standard go-to with anything within the city limits?
No, it was the shooting happened in North Philadelphia in that case.
Okay.
I think it's the nearest one. But to your point, Nick, that, you know, Temple especially.
Boy, they get a ton of work.
They do.
Jeez.
I mean, they're so experienced with treating gunshot wounds and saving all these lives.
Yep.
We have two people in custody, by the way, after police broke up an illegal car meetup in Philadelphia. This happened in the Summerton section of Philadelphia in the Northeast near Sandmeyer Lane and Red Lion Road. Happened late last night, 11 o'clock-ish. So I always think, did it have something to do with the Eagles' victory celebration? But it was
Eagles!
Long after the Eagles declared victory. In this case, investigators had been monitoring social media, and they say some of these people involved in these stunts were live streaming on TikTok.
As they're doing donuts and wheelies,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Am I out of line, Stalker, by saying, you know what, cops should just shoot out their tires forward?
Absolutely.
Disable them right away.
The brazenness, I hope I'm using that correctly, of these people to do this and the streaming on social, like knowing they're breaking the law, streaming on social media and
chronicling their own crimes.
And not giving a flying you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Imagine just documenting your own breaking of the law.
Yeah, yeah.
Who needs lawyers when who needs prosecutors? They're prosecuting themselves.
Honest to God, I would come in if I'm the police with an effing battering ram and just start running over cars like it's a monster truck.
Yeah,
that's why I said blow their tires out, because if you do that, they can't drive.
And
away.
If you're and,
say some crash,
and if you're in it, sorry,
something.
I'm sorry, Don. What?
Krasner's going to charge you with something.
Yeah.
If you do that. If you're a cop or a citizen.
I know. You're right.
You're going to get charged.
Yeah. Love to see that clash between police and the DA. Be glorious in this
city. And your life. I mean, you might win at the end of the day, but it's years of your life.
Oh,
lawyers.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Second mortgaging your home.
I know. Yep. It's easy for me to say, you know, behind a cozy glass here in this warm studio.
Yeah.
But that's what I would do.
Yep.
Make it a monster truck event. Just come in there and just run over all those cars. Uh-huh. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, watch out. Quit and if those you're in punks it, sorry. Panic, too.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. fare increases going into effect. They're now in effect. Fares, this is SEPTA, hiking its rates for the first time since 2017. That means fares on buses, subways, trolleys are increasing, and as well, regional rail service fares are also going up. This hike is happening as SEPTA faces a $240 million budget deficit, and they say it's necessary to maintain current service levels because they've lost a lot of customers during the pandemic and during the shutdowns and since that time. So SEPTA's base fares increased to $2.50. And it actually went into effect yesterday, but I think most people are feeling this and noticing this starting today. New influx of funding has postponed a second, more drastic fare rate hike, and that's planned for next year. So it's a 7.5% fare hike that its board did approve last week, but I think nobody was paying attention. So just a heads up on that. And then for PHL, Philadelphia International Airport, a lot of headaches over the weekend as they had two power outages, not one, but two, Saturday and Sunday, long lines, a lot of headaches, and then bracing for today, busiest travel home day, as they're expecting some 95,000 people.
Yeah. Are you doing more of the Cyber Monday shopping, or were you more of a Black Friday, go out and brace the crowds Friday shopper?
I've been spreading it out, so I did a lot online this year, more so than usual.
Yeah.
Today, I'll probably check out the deals, but you do have to check it out because sometimes they'll say, oh, it's a big deal, and then you look it up, and it's mm-hmm. not really.
I just read a story yesterday about the Federal Aviation Administration. The FAA is now, I believe, going to allow Amazon
yep.
to drone drop your packages over your house.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Can you imagine what that must be like? What's that, honey? It's just the Johnsons. They're getting more razor blades dropped off on the
that's
porch.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like this need was like, I need to have those razor blades right now.
Yeah.
So much so that they're going to put a drone.
Uh-huh.
And, like, what if
I saw a video of it? There's like this little drone is over some little fenced yard dropping off a package.
And I'm a giant hypocrite because I'm sure I'll use it.
Yeah.
But it's just, you get these giant boxes that come in for like, you know,
mm-hmm.
here's a tube of toothpaste. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's in 19 boxes, wrappings.
I can't wait for the first lawsuit where the drone drops something and it hits somebody in the head.
Yeah.
And then they sue.
But what is beautiful. I mean, what does it say about us that we need that, you know, razor blade right now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, all the jobs, if they're going to do this via drone, then on one hand, you're eliminating all of the trucks that are double parked somewhere on a road, which is a real pain.
And they fly down roads. Yeah, it's just like, calm down, guys. I know you have to get to your destination, but like, mm-hmm. there's kids in the neighborhood. I'm just.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to get their route done for the day. Yeah.
And they have their earbuds in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're paying attention. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure the brakes on those giant Amazon trucks or those UPS trucks aren't great.
No. Not at all.
So you do wonder about the jobs because they pay pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
But then also it relieves congestion. You think about the, you know, if they are diesel or whatever, the pollution, whatever, especially in a city, congestion.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, like you're saying, what if you ordered wine glasses?
I know. Exactly. Well,
I just picture, you know, the fat kid sitting Aww. In his basement playing video games as an Amazon drone is dropping off a double cheeseburger to his house.
Soft, chubby, fat-looking children.
Stop. And it's a society, yes, that I partake in, but it's a society that I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
It's lazy. It's like, just get off your butt and go get something.
Yeah.
But in a city like Philadelphia, where you have people who don't want to go out after the dark because it's getting dark so early, is that something that is a quality of life issue for people, let's say, in Philadelphia? You don't have all the stores have closed. The Wawas have shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a city resident, let's say in West Philadelphia, you don't have a grocery store near you, you could get a drone to deliver
groceries. And then gangs will shoot it out of the air.
Well, then we'll have armored drones. Yeah. The drones will come strapped.
It's going to become a new game with the Bloods and Crips.
That's
like
right.
Dick Cheney with Skeet.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
President Joe Biden pardoning his son. It's a major headline this morning. A lot of criticism. He's pardoning his son, convicted felon Hunter Biden, who was, of course, convicted in two separate federal cases earlier this year. One of them, it's technically a local story in Delaware. So in a Truth Social post last night, President-elect Donald J. Trump writing, quote, does the pardon given by Joe Biden to Hunter include the J6 hostages who have now been imprisoned for years? Such an abuse and miscarriage of justice, unquote. The pardon applies to offenses against the U.S. that Hunter Biden has, quote, committed or may have committed from January 1st, 2014 to December 1st, 2024. Biden releasing in a White House statement today, I signed a pardon for my son, Hunter. And in this one, many questioning this because, of course, the timing of 2014, Hunter Biden joining the board of Burisma back in 2014. And so that's the real question that I think people are looking at this morning. Why a 10-year span? But Biden had claimed from the day he took office he would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision making. President Biden claiming that he kept his word as he watched his son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. So laying out his case for the why he was doing this. Persecution of government, weaponization of government.
Yeah. I tell you, politics is a great life, is it not? You start with $179,000 salary. You leave with $38 million in net worth. Your kid commits a crime. You might commit a crime. At the end of the day, you get pardoned. That's a good life if you can get it.
Well, two-tiered system of justice, you think?
You think?
And did we mention Dr. Marty McCary, who's on our air often, that he, because Trump made those nominations. I know we mentioned Kash Patel.
Bhattacharya.
Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. But also on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, three, as far as health agencies, Dr. Dave Weldon, who's also a former representative in Florida, Dr. Marty McCary, who we know very well, FDA commish, and then Dr. Jeanette Neshawat for Surgeon General.
A lot of people that are going to attempt to, what a battle they're going to have with all these lobbyist groups and this big food and big pharma. That could be a clash for the ages. I don't know how much success that they will ultimately have. Might do a MAHA big take tomorrow on Make America Healthy Again. A lot of great stories out there about just how bad our food is that I've been sitting on. But if you want the right fighters, Trump picked the right fighters. We'll see how the battle goes, though.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I think when you look at RFK and what and Trump and all these different individuals. So, I've been into this for years. I've been saying it for years and even comparing our Italy trip, right, when we went there and realizing all these other countries do not allow the chemicals that we allow in the United States of America. And so I think that's the one that gains the most bipartisan traction with people when RFK Jr. has talked about that one.
They ought to hire you. Stocker said this like last week before we broke for Thanksgiving. You've been dieting for 27 years. It's unbelievable.
Well, basically, it is a job to try to eat foods that don't have these chemicals
in them. It is such a hard job. It's such a hard job. I was to a point this weekend where I was looking for Bloody Mary mix that doesn't have xanthan gum in it. And I'm like, what the hell is xanthan gum and why is it in my Bloody Mary mix?
See?
Yeah, it's the difference between you and I. I'm eating a third plate of turkey and stuffing. You're looking for xanthan mix.
I don't want to have it in my Bloody Mary mix.
Right.
Greg Stocker making Bloody Marys healthy again.
Xanthan mix was the least of my concerns over the weekend.
Well, we are sponsored by Holland Floor Covering on this chilly December 1st day as we think about Cyber Monday. 27 degrees. It feels like it's about 24. So even though the high on your phone might say, 40, 41 and sunny, it'll never feel like 40 degrees because of the brisk winds that we're facing this week. It'll feel more like 30. So bundle up. Holland Floor Covering, the region's premier family-owned carpet and flooring dealer. New carpet, creating a cozy atmosphere in your home and really can add warmth to any room. Showrooms in Wayne and Newtown. Free samples, no obligation estimates. HollandFloor.com. I'm Dawn Stensland with the News Kalen Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. What's on the cut sheet coming up in just about a half hour? On the other side, cable news is over. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And we're not talking today about cars or SUVs or trucks, but the holiday season, because it's a great time to give back. And my friends at the Piazza Auto Group are doing just that. Now through December 16th. The Piazza dealerships are collecting new unwrapped toys in partnership with the great folks at the Salvation Army. If you would like to contribute and donate to a child in need, please visit your local Piazza showroom. We know where they are. They're all over the Delaware Valley. Any of the dealerships, any of the locations, and drop off a toy in the donation bin. And their sales and service team will be happy to assist you if, in fact, you're in the need of any automotive needs during your visit. For info, go to PiazzaAutoGroup.com, and they thank you for your support and wish you a happy holiday.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Friday, December 20th, that is 2 weeks from this Friday, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. down in Old City on 2nd Street. You could partake and join us with a mere $20 donation. Celebrate the season in Old City and join us on 2nd Street between Market and Chestnut for a special first responder holiday party and fundraiser featuring music, food, drink specials, fundraising activities, special guests, and more. All proceeds go directly to the family of critically injured Philadelphia Highway Patrolman Andy Chan and other families, including Officer Christopher Fitzgerald and his brave widow Marissa, and all of those that are critically injured in the line of duty as a first responder. Always a great time. Had a blast last year, and I know all three of us went last year, and presumably I think we're all going again this year, right?
Yeah, I guess because we don't spend enough time together.
Right.
We're going to actually spend the evening.
I'm going to be off for 11 days, too. But then I got to come see you again at night.
It'll be fine. But no, it's a great cause. I love supporting them. And I think everybody out there, everybody, all you YouTube chatters, you know, everybody should please make it a point to buy a $20 ticket and come out and support the families behind the Badger Children's Foundation Friday night. December 20th, 4 to 9 p.m.
Yes.
4 to 9 p.m. So it'll be fun. We'll all be there. And yep.
6:30, yeah. Stalker will be gassed. He'll be hanging from a chandelier.
It's a lot of fun.
It'll be great.
Yeah. Be awesome.
It's a lot of fun, and then it's some tears and hugs, too, because it's, you know.
Yep.
And that's just it. But even if you can't make it, because it's, the Friday before Christmas.
Sure.
Just donate.
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
You know, because it is a nonprofit, you can write it off, but your presence will be felt by donating whether or not you can go.
Mm-hmm. Same organization that does the bike ride, folks, for those who don't remember.
And I have to apologize for something.
What's that?
Oh, no.
So, God bless Jimmy Kelly. He's been taking a ton of phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying all morning, December 1st. Because when I wrote my script last night and the Septifers took effect, it was December 1st then, so not for nothing. But today's December 2nd,
yeah.
So I apologize.
Oh, man. The fact-checkers are out.
Well,
no, I love that you guys,
neither of us caught that either.
I know. It takes a special human to actually call a radio station and say, hey, it's actually December 2nd.
They're trying to be helpful. Like, yo, Jimmy, tell Dawn it's December 2nd.
Yeah.
You know, it's after the whole nothing. Mm-hmm. But I thank you for your calls.
Yes.
And you don't have to call Jimmy.
Yes.
Although he said he delivered the message.
Jimmy likes taking phone calls, especially the ones that don't want to go on air. He loves to come down here and say, so-and-so called and said this. I'm like, why didn't you put him on the air? He goes, why do you want to go on the air? Okay, cool.
That's
so
okay.
We'll take your requests, your thoughts. It's like the voicemail machine. Yeah. You just leave your message with Jimmy.
By the way, bad job by me for not getting to the voicemails for probably 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
If you have leave leave some voicemails and we'll get to them. We'll start doing it.
So fun.
At the end of the show.
All right. So, very interesting. Stocker found this story right before we went on vacation, but two stories that developed while we were on vacation, which I'm glad we actually sat on this story. So Reason Magazine has an article out saying cable news is over. And then I have a clip I'm going to play for you from CNN, as well as some quotes from Catherine Herridge to really hammer home this point. But Reason writes, when the cable news network, which is CNN, launched on the evening of June 1st, 1980, it was a youthful upstart business. The big broadcast networks and their regularly scheduled nightly newscasts had a lock on viewers and TV news. But CNN was offering something different, a steady flow of TV news programming that was always available, that took viewers inside the stories in a more intimate and organic way. And that bet paid off. It helped pave the way for cable news networks like Fox News and MSNBC, which became more explicitly partisan in their coverage and emphasis. It has been so integral to political news consumption in the United States for so long that it's almost difficult to imagine American politics without it. But we may soon find out what that is like. As they have talked about post-election, the ratings collapse for both CNN and MSNBC, reaching lows not seen since June of 2000. And it's not just CNN. It's also MSNBC that has suffered similarly low ratings in key demographics, to which Fox News has not seen that sort of drastic fall off. But it doesn't mean that Fox isn't going to run into their struggles one day soon as well. But to illustrate, and I think this election taught us a lot of things, but it also really showed us where people are going for their news nowadays. TV news, newspapers, the things of the 90s and the early to mid 2000s have slowly started to fade away. You know, then when it was the internet era, now it's the social media era, and even social media, you know, maybe fading a little bit, maybe getting a little watered down with so many different platforms to basically all do and say and post the same type of stuff. And now we see, you know, podcasts have taken off on demand. You know, no matter what you do, like in our format, we're radio, but we're also on an app, we're streaming, we're live on YouTube. So the landscape is always changing. But to really illustrate how bad cable news is, I don't need to give you ratings. I want to just highlight the partisan coverage on one network, and then also the lack of comprehension and just paying attention to what you should already know on television. When your own television channel and network has reported on this. This is clip K1. I want to play this for you. Scott Jennings, I think, has become an absolute stud on CNN as they've tried to integrate a Republican viewpoint on the network. He's on the 10 o'clock show with Abby Phillip. He's a contributor throughout the day. And he was on one of these panel settings. And he's with a woman you'll see in this clip. Her name is Carrie Champion. She used to be a SportsCenter anchor on ESPN. She got political. Her contract was not renewed. I don't know if it was because of politics. I don't know that she was fired. But she left ESPN for CNN. And she is having a conversation with Scott and some other panel members about the partisan nature of social media. Democrat, Republican, left, right. And what's the balance or lack thereof on things like Twitter, which is now X, Instagram, Facebook, you name it. And I want to play you this clip. She is so oblivious and just wanted to play identity politics and jump down Scott Jennings' throat. And then Scott fact checks her, and you're going to see the receipt in this clip as well. This is clip K1. Let's roll this.
I heard what you're saying about X. I saw a survey this week. It's now the most ideologically balanced platform.
Scott, stop. It's too early. I just sat down. I've only been here for 2 minutes.
You're going to be embarrassed when I tweet that after the show.
You cannot say that.
Who's the source of that? What I find, we reported it on this network.
Look at this. The party ID among those who regularly use X/Twitter for news. Back in 2022, 65% of those who regularly use Twitter/X for news were Democrats. Just 31% were Republicans. Look at where we are today. Just a completely different picture. Now it's basically split between Democrats at 48%, Republicans at 47%. And what I should note, Mr. Berman, is this now, this new overall makeup matches the overall electorate far better.
Very interesting. That's Harry Enten there on the back end, citing stats and research from the Pew Research Center that debunks the narrative that Twitter is just now rebranded as X. I'm always going to call it Twitter. X just feels weird. That it's some right-wing playground. It's not. You'll actually see it was 2-1 Democrat-Republican before Elon bought it. Now it is basically a 50-50 split between left-wing and right-wing marketplaces of ideology and ideas, right? And this notion that Elon Musk made X toxic, no, if anything, he balanced it out more to actually match, as Harry Enten just talked about, where our country is politically, relatively split and divided down the middle. The second thing I want to give you, Catherine Herridge, who I absolutely love because she is a dying breed of mainstream media journalism. Remember Fox News, CBS News. She left CBS News. She's now doing her own thing, in part because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, but also because she wanted to interview Elon Musk. And I'm reading this from the New York Post over the weekend. And her bosses at CBS blocked her from the interview, saying, "We don't know what he is going to say." Catherine Herridge posted this video on X over the weekend and revealed that the bosses were not down with the opportunity to interview Elon Musk, who had been in the news for his release of the Twitter files in late 2022. They said that the following quote, and this is a quote from Herridge: "I went to the CBS executives and I said, this is the opportunity that we have. He's saying, I want to do it live and on my platform. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is an incredible opportunity," Herridge recounts in the video. Elon Musk on CBS News, he's one of the most influential human beings on the planet. And the reaction from the executives was, well, we can't do it live. Herridge was perplexed, since it's usually beneficial for an interview to be granted with no conditions over the content. She says, quote, "I was like, what do you mean we can't do it live?" And the higher ups told her, quote, "Well, we don't know what he is going to say." Herridge tells viewers in this clip, "I'm thinking, isn't that the point of journalism? You don't know what the person is going to say." And I, when I'm reading this story and I watched the video over the weekend, she posted little snippets, like 2-3 minute clips on her X feed. I was thinking of you, Dawn, because, you know, you're a journalist. She's a journalist. She's one of these people that, you know, doesn't like where the media has gone in recent years. And honestly, it feels like she's been neutered by these networks. And where are we? And this goes back to the story of cable news being over, as we know it, from Reason.com in their article. If the media does not want to interview the wealthiest man on the planet, and perhaps equally the smartest man on the planet, out of fear of what he is going to say, then we don't have a true free and fair press. That's the whole point. I don't ever want to do an interview with restrictions or constraints. It's a hack job. Isn't that kind of the exhilarating part of interviewing big time people, is nothing off limits? Or, hey, and even if you want to record it, that's fine. But to shoot down the idea out of fear of what Elon Musk is going to say, what are these people so afraid of?
Well, they're afraid of the truth.
Well, obviously.
That's what they're afraid of.
Sure.
And so that they wanted, think about all of the interviews that we now know that they've, you know, edited selectively. It's biased by omission. And in this one, I think for Catherine Herridge, she probably realizes how blessed she was to work at Fox for, and she covered the Pentagon, had great sources, was stolen away by CBS with a big contract, 60 Minutes, and thought, oh, the bastion of journalism.
Yeah.
Well, there it is, honey.
They stole her away to put more shackles around her.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she had more freedom at Fox.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
And that's why she is stunned. And that's why I'm thankful that she's speaking out, because she is stunned at the level of bias and control. So the reason they don't want these live interviews is just what she's saying, that they're saying, well, we don't know what's going to. And look at how she is just perplexed by that. Can't even wrap her brain around it. And good for her for releasing this.
It's just staggering, the levels to which they go. And this is why, like, when we've cited the Gallup poll in the past, and it comes out every, you know, periodically of what is your level of trust and faith in America's institutions? And we look at academia, we look at the media, we look at federal agencies, we look at our politicians. That's why in America right now, our faith and trust is at rock bottom in almost every single institution, which is another reason why I think Donald Trump won this election, because Americans are sick of being lied to, being fed, bought and paid for propaganda, and all of these institutions that are fearful of the truth. That's a big and you talk about things being off limits, not doing things live. I mean, CBS with Catherine Herridge and Elon Musk, that was the epitome of the Kamala Harris campaign. She wouldn't do things live. There had to be all these stipulations. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do 3 hours with Joe Rogan. I'm only going to give Brett Baer 20 minutes. This is off limits. I'm afraid you'll bring up that. I mean, that is a major red flag for any citizen in this country, any voter, when these institutions and these people behind these institutions or the figureheads out in front are saying, no, 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 there's got to be stipulation A, B, C, X, Y, Z.
Remember that she was terminated from CBS News one day after she had covered the special counsel,
yep,
Robert Hur's investigation into whether or not President Joe Biden mishandled classified documents.
Just
one day after that.
It is just
And
amazing.
She's still facing contempt of court charges.
Mm-hmm.
That's still ongoing right now.
Yep.
And she has said, no, I'm not revealing my sources. And she had questioned, CBS, remember, seized her computer file, her computer and her files.
Oh, yeah. They took all her stuff.
Then SAG-AFTRA got involved. The union got involved. They did return them. But her question were any of her sources compromised?
Mm-hmm. That's why alternative forms of media and how people consume it is growing and changing. And the legacy media is dying because many people have known this for a long time or assumed it. And now the curiosity and the frustration has, I think, reached a boiling point. And you know what? Those protected legacy media outlets, they only have themselves to blame. But as long as they continue to make ad revenue, they'll survive. 855-839-1210. What's on the cut sheet? Well, we will all find out together on the other side of Kale and Company on a Monday morning, December 2nd, Cyber Monday, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
When it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has been building a reputation, an impeccable reputation, for transforming kitchens with such precision and care, from custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes, all the storage solutions. Kitchen Magic gets the job done fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. Trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. Just go to kitchenmagic.com and put this on the calendar. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
The Washington Post with a 10-question civics test. And I took it this morning at 5:33 in the morning. And I got to tell you, I'm very happy. I got 7 out of 10 right.
He got a D.
I got 70%.
As Dawn pointed out, he got a D.
You could throw whatever letter you want on it, D, C. I got 70%.
A D on an 8th grade civics test. Nick Hale got a D.
Sleepers in my eye, no caffeine in my system. I was in 8th grade in 1997.
At least you're honest about it.
My retention wasn't bad.
You could have said, hey, I got 100%.
That's right. I could have lied.
You're honest with your audience.
And Phil has the answers in front of him. We will get to that coming up around 9:20 this morning. And if you... Are we going to do one question correct for a caller and you get a prize? Or how do you want to do this?
I think we should do... I haven't really thought this through. I guess I should have.
That's right. We can think it through on the radio.
I think that we should get... We should go until the person gets a wrong answer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or I was going to say we could just...
Or can they beat you? How about this? Can they beat you?
Okay. If you can beat my score, you win the prize.
All you have to do is beat a D.
All you got to do is get 8 out of 10. Which I think used to be a B, but I don't know. According to Dawn, that's like it's an F now. 8 out of 10 is no good anymore. I used to think 8 out of 10 was excellence personified.
It's not.
But times have changed, folks.
Times have changed.
Times have changed.
Yep.
And the time has just changed to 7:50. We're 5 minutes late, so let's get right to it. It's time for What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's
cut sheet.
What's on the cut sheet on this Monday? Brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo, where they have ample inventory of brand new and beautiful pre-owned Volvos. Enjoy the luxury experience you deserve. They always go the extra mile for their customers because relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
Have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes, and I am satisfied that I'm not going to do anything. I said I abide by the jury decision. I will do that, and I will not pardon him.
The president would not pardon or commute the sentence for his son, Hunter. I just want to make sure that that is not going to change over the next 6 months. The president's saying he would not.
It's still a no.
It's still a no.
It's still a no.
It will always be a no.
It's still a no. It will be a no. It is a no. And I don't have anything else to add. Will he pardon his son? No.
Let me go back to the first question of the briefing. I know you said not a lot's changed since yesterday and that it's a personal matter, but from a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
Well,
is there a- I just said no. I just answered. Go ahead.
I tell you, the dishonesty, the grifting, the trolling of this administration really is next level. But I think when you look at this now, this just really does. And we talked about what it means on the surface, what it means next level. But honestly, to me, with Trump, it just opens up the door now for so many J6ers to be pardoned, especially the ones that were in there for all of 9 minutes, that walked around, that did nothing wrong, that were made examples of, perhaps had due process rights violated. I'm not saying it's going to be a sweeping pardon from A to Z, but I think you're going to see a ton. And I forget what the actual count is. Dawn, every now and then when a story breaks with a new J6er that was tracked down, you give us the update. Is it over 430, roughly, people that have been charged with something? I think that's the number. I could be off, but...
Well, over 1,000 overall.
Or is it over 1,000? Okay. For some reason, I had 430 on the brain, but that could be wrong.
Well, Joe and KJP all said, nope, never going to do it, never going to do it. And the corporate media bought it hook, line, and sinker. Sorry. Why is that so loud?
Oh, no.
Corporate media bought it hook, line, and sinker. Here's just a little bit of them parroting the talking points. Of course Joe Biden is not going to pardon his son, Hunter.
The presidential promise to put the law before a family.
I said I abide by the jury decision.
Abby Phillip.
I will do that, and I will not pardon him.
Letting the world know that he will not wipe away the decision of 12 of his son's peers
was asked directly, and he has said he wouldn't pardon his son if he gets convicted.
Let's wait and see what happens if he loses.
Yeah, but I mean, but he said it.
He's going to get pardoned by his dad. There's no question about that.
The president has ruled out pardoning his son.
Major commitment from the president. Accepting the outcome of the trial and also pledging not to pardon his son.
But by the way, can I just say, Caitlin Collins now got promoted.
Yes.
Now on CNN. Did I see that correctly?
She is now, once again, I think the chief
White House correspondent. So is she losing her 9 p.m.
No,
show?
No. Added responsibility to justify her bloated salary.
Gotcha.
Which, honestly, she's actually better probably suited in the correspondent role than she is in the host role, in my opinion.
So in the new administration, she's going to play the Steve Doocy character or the Jim Acosta character from 10 years ago.
I believe so, yes.
Right, Dawn?
Yes.
That's going to be her new role. She's going to be the villain.
Well, wasn't she in this role previously before the show?
She was.
Or was she lower on the totem pole?
She was with the Daily Caller?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Long time ago, Dawn.
But that was how she... I know, it feels like 20 years ago.
But she was a correspondent during the Trump administration, right? The latter parts?
She took on Trump. That's how she made her name.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So CNN is elevating her. So she's going to be at all these press gaggles plus do a 9 p.m. show? That seems like a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If she has a good agent, she got a pay raise. If she didn't, but
it's smart for her.
She got to keep her job.
She got to keep her job. It's smart to be the hardest working woman in the building, especially with Rachel Maddow.
Oh, the hardest working woman in the building.
I thought you were going to say like Dawn Steinberg.
I was thinking of Rachel Maddow working Mondays and getting $15 million.
Because
I don't think Caitlin Collins makes that much.
No. Painful.
So the challenge for him is really to continue to live up to his values when it was really personal, and he did that today.
It seems like a pretty normal, straightforward answer, but it it takes new weight when we see what Trump is saying about the outcome of his trial, what we're hearing from other Republicans who say they don't accept the jury's verdict here in New York.
The contrast is profound. To sit there and say, well, I'm not going to intervene in the legal process and I wouldn't pardon my son. Ah. One side, Democrats and Joe Biden protecting the justice system.
Yep.
And on the other, Republicans and Trump protecting Trump.
A current president of the United States has so much respect for the law that he has said he would not pardon his son. I mean, what, you know, again, it's all about the contrast.
President Biden saying, I will respect whatever this jury decides Donald Trump after he was convicted on 34 counts, saying the entire system.
They all buy it. Hook, line, and sinker.
That's why, I mean, that's why that story is so good that we just talked about from Reason.com on news media being dead. They don't even bother to challenge what these people say.
And if they do, and if there's a guest that does, Abby Phillip jumps right in and says, well, Joe Biden said he's not going to pardon him.
Yeah, she shuts him down. Your job in the media is not to be a teammate of a political party. My God.
Yeah, what's going to be, Road Warrior has a great point, what's going to be the next pivot? Will it be, he did what any dad would do?
Well, yes, I think that's already started. By the way, by the time we get to Cut Sheet Part 2, I'm assuming the biggest parrots will have shared their views if they're working today. Would love to hear what Mika and Joe have to say about this.
Just a little bit more, because I just enjoy corporate media buying things hook, line, and sinker and then being proved to look like the utter buffoons they are.
Mm-hmm. Rigged against them.
Their latest attack has been that Joe Biden has politicized and weaponized the DOJ, right? That was the whole argument around Donald Trump's conviction. And this week, of course, Hunter Biden was found guilty, and Joe Biden has very clearly said he would not pardon his son, he would not commute his sentence.
Yep.
How stark is this difference? I mean, how can Republicans keep making this argument now that Joe Biden has really put it out there? Where's Hunter? Mm. And he stood there in a courtroom, flanked by his family, and he's accepted his sentence.
He is not pardoning his son.
Oh, this guy. Forgot about this guy.
Which he could do. These are federal charges. Right. He is not doing that. He is not doing it because he is living what it means to have a rule of law in this country. Yeah. And if you want to know if he believes it, you can actually see what is happening with his own son.
The president.
There you go. I
don't know what's worse. The fact that some people actually tune in and consume mainstream media, or those that tune in, consume it, and then believe what you're being told. You know, the thing that jumps out to me from months ago, actually, I think this might even be close to a year ago. Wasn't it last December that Hunter Biden was supposed to attend that deposition and he skipped it and then did a press conference briefing out on the steps of Capitol Hill instead of being deposed, where he never went in for the deposition?
Indeed.
He knew all along his dad would eventually pardon him. And Joe didn't arrive at that conclusion Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend either.
This is Cut 22, Phil. This is Joe Walsh. Not that Joe Walsh. Not the good Joe Walsh. This is a
bad Joe Walsh.
Yeah, this is another Joe Walsh who's a representative. I think he's a Republican, but he's like a Biden supporter. And like he's a big Biden supporter. He says that he's deflated now because of the news that his hero Joe Biden is pardoning his son. Roll this, please.
What do you make of all of this? What is likely to be the response on Capitol Hill to this breaking news?
Good to be with you. See, I told you so. They're all like that. So the next time any of us complain about anything Trump does, this pardon is just deflating. For those of us who have been out there for a few years now yelling about what a unique threat Donald Trump is, for Joe Biden to do something like this, Trump, nobody's above the law, we've been screaming. Well, Joe Biden just made clear his son Hunter is above the law. Donald Trump lies every time he opens his mouth, we've been screaming. Joe Biden repeatedly lied about this.
Yep.
The politicization of the justice system. Donald Trump and his people have been screaming. Exactly what Biden said here.
Joe, is this a politics of purity? I mean, we had Donald Trump pardon Sheriff Joe Arpaio during his term, and there wasn't a lot of hue and cry about that. I mean, this is a father who saw his first wife killed, his daughter killed in a car crash, his two young sons survive. One goes on to have real difficulties with addiction. Another dies because of cancer. This is a family that's really troubling.
Yes. Then don't say you're not
gonna
pardon
him. He wasn't going to do this, but did anyone ever believe that that was the case? I mean, I would have put good money on this happening. Like, are many people going to be surprised that a father who is also the president would do this for a son?
I don't know that people will be surprised, because you're right. Joe Biden repeatedly said he wouldn't do this, so he repeatedly lied. But this just furthers the cynicism that people have about politics, and that cynicism strengthens Trump, because Trump can just say, I'm not a unique threat. Everybody does this. If I do something for my kid, my son-in-law, whatever, look, Joe Biden does the same thing. I get it, but this was a selfish move by Biden, which politically only strengthens Trump. It's just deflating.
It's funny to me, guys. Joe Biden is going out with two middle fingers up.
Everything.
Throwing the grenade onto the bridge, watching it blow up, and just being like, F all of you people for not believing in me. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just going out in a blaze of glory. He's like, clean up my mess now, suckers.
Screw you, Obama. Screw you, Kamala. Suck on that, David. Obama's right hand man, David
Axelrod.
He's just going out in a blaze of glory.
Yes.
By the way, what's the deal with the anchor on that clip of MSNBC with the Where's Waldo glasses?
And by the way, it's just, you know, any parent would do this for their child. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But then why say it?
Uh-huh.
Why say that you're not going
to
do it?
Yeah, just to point out their absurdity. We all recall Harry Sisson, right? Harry Sisson, the little 22-year-old, Democrat propaganda social media guy that can't grow facial hair. He tweeted on July 27th, 2022. Hey, Donald, nobody is above the law in the United States.
Yeah.
Last night, when Joe Biden pardoned Hunter Biden, Harry Sisson tweeted, President Biden has officially pardoned his son, Hunter Biden. I fully agree with this decision. Again, the hypocrisy is just astounding. Everything they claim Trump is, Joe Biden actually does.
Also, yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, maybe the day before, Trump announced that he's going to have Kash Patel serve for the head of the FBI.
43 years old.
Just for those of you who don't know who he is, this is Kash Patel on the FBI, on what he would do with the FBI on day one. This is from a podcast a couple of months ago when he was promoting a book. This is Cut 14, go.
Then we need to decrease what I call government creep with personnel. The FBI's footprint has gotten so freaking big, and the biggest problem the FBI has had has come out of its intel shops. I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state. And I take the 7,000 employees that work in that building and send them across America to chase down criminals. Go be cops. You're cops. Go be cops. Go chase down murderers and rapists and drug dealers and violent offenders. What do you need 7,000 people there for? Same thing with DOJ. What are all these people doing here? Looking for their next government promotion. Looking for their next fancy government title.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for their parachute out of government. So while you're bringing in the right people, you also have to shrink government.
So massive government reform.
Yeah. And you got to work with Congress to eliminate the billets. This is one of the things we did when I was deputy DNI. We got to DNI and I was like, okay, what do all these people do? We've got the CIA, so why do I have analysts doing the CIA's job here? Why do I have a floor of them? Like, give me a good answer. I don't know everything. I don't know a lot. But if you can give me an answer that satisfies their existence, I'm all in. Well, we just have our own people. Okay, well, now we don't. And we went to Congress and zeroed out a bunch of billets. And they hated us for it.
Why? Why would Congress hate you for that?
Not Congress, the public. Congress is like, great, you saved us money. You're the only agency that returned money this year because we didn't spend our entire budget. We were literally funding seats with no humans in them. for years. And what the government creep that I was talking about is these agencies go to Congress every year. And again, this is why it's a thing of decades. I need 5 more seats here. I need 10 more seats here. Okay, you keep doing that. How's that going? Oh, we'll fill that seat next year. We're in the process of, you know, interviewing people for that section. And that keeps, no one returns money. It's the biggest fiction in government that you can't return money. Every agency and department that I've ever worked for, when it comes to the fiscal end of the year, they're like, go on trips, go spend money. What? Just give it back to Congress. We can't do that.
It's amazing. So many of you that were waiting for this and anticipating this move from Trump got your wish. And this guy's great because he's a combination of brains and balls. And that's going to put the fear of God in a lot of these federal bureaucrats, these 7,000 people that are just doing a whole bunch of nothing. This guy's a former lawyer, former federal prosecutor for the DOJ. He was the chief of staff to the U.S. Secretary of Defense. And he's done all of that at, I think, 43 or 44 years old. This guy doesn't give a damn, and he's going to come in there. He's a lot like a Vivek Ramaswamy, Elon, Tom Homan. He's not there to hold hands, and he don't care about your feelings.
Guys, it's easy to sit, you know, in here and say, this guy's going to gut this, and this guy's going to get that, and Elon and Vivek are going to come in and do this and do that. It's a lot harder to actually get it done.
Absolutely.
I was reading a story over the weekend about how, like, what it's going to take for Elon and Vivek to actually, get rid of government departments and personnel, yeah, and the checks and balances that have to go on, and sure, everything has to be recorded and everything. Like, just to sit here and say that, well, we're going to slash this, we're going to slash that, we're going to slash that. Yeah, it sounds great here, mm-hmm, but can it actually be done? I don't know if it can.
Well, they gave the end date, and I'm speaking specifically on DOGE now. That is July 4th, 2026. So Vivek has come out and said on the 250th anniversary or birthday of this nation. So that's what? That's a little over a year and a half. They're going to have about 18 months to get some things accomplished. And they're not going to do it all. And by the way, you know, when you have this sort of administration coming in, no way you can get it all done in one term of 4 years. For those that voted Trump for the first time and want the establishment out, it's going to take multiple election cycles. We're talking 8 to 12 years to achieve these things.
They really only have 2 years to get it done.
Right, until the next midterms.
Because midterms are going to be, we see this all the time, midterms are going to be a complete reversal.
Yep.
And they're going to vote a lot of people out and you know, vote more Democrats in. So they really only have 2 years, yep, to get this done until the gridlock starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do. And the question, I think, for everybody, I will say this. All they have to do is expose the truth. All they have to do in truth is shine a light on all of the government waste. That's it. If they just make, yeah, it public, if they make all of this public, and if they release it and say, here's the bloated department of so-and-so.
Yep.
Here's who's going to work and who's working remotely. Here's what they all make on the average 6 figures and all of the numbers. Just make it transparent. That's it. The people will respond.
Haven't they done that already, though,
no,
by exposing it?
Nope.
You don't
they
think
haven't.
So? See, I,
nope,
think we
give
need some. I need some results. I'm not saying I need sweeping change because I try to be a realist and I realize that the swamp will just repopulate. It'll respawn. Yeah, it's like that video game where you die and you respawn and you keep coming back. But if you can have some success on top of the basic stuff, fixing the economy, securing the border, I'm not expecting Washington, D.C. to be gutted. But expose it, shine the light on it, and make some progress, I'll be happy.
If they just start releasing the information and making it public, that will do so much, because then all of us, every citizen, you know, you don't have to be a professional journalist, right? Anybody can look up the websites and say, wow, look at all these people, and how many? What's the percentage of them? Because according to what we're inferring from what they've said so far, a lot of these federal employees are not even going physically to work. They're zooming it in, and they're highly paid people.
Yep.
So in my opinion, just by making it transparent, yep, they will do wonders to let us all know what's going on and what our tax dollars are paying for, which we're not getting a lot of bang for our buck, especially because we need to reduce the deficit.
Mm-hmm. We also have to remember, too, guys, that, like, all of these appointments that Trump is making, they all have to pass, you know, through – hearings and
stuff.
Yeah,
of course.
I mean, yes, he can do some recess appointments. All presidents do. But I think that to sit here and say that he's going to go, 10 out of 10 on these is history says that's not correct. So which ones do you guys think will pass? Which ones? I mean, Marco Rubio is definitely going to pass through.
Well, the ones that are established swamp creatures are
he's a current senator.
But between Cash Patel,
Bill Face pushback,
between RFK Jr.,
ton of pushback.
Who else? Hegseth.
Tulsi. They're going after Tulsi because she's powerful. She's a woman. She served in the military. They fear her. So she's
some of them are going to fall, guys. I'm telling you.
Well, I'll tell you.
Some of them are going
to
fall.
But they have to pick and choose who they're going to go after. Who they're going to be the nastiest.
I think the one that really has to achieve a lot, and he doesn't even technically have a position, quote, on the books, is Vivek Ramaswamy, right?
Yeah.
Because this is a guy with presidential aspirations. If he doesn't pull off, in conjunction with Elon Musk, what he hopes to in a year and a half, he's going to be all talk and no go.
You guys also have to remember, too, like, I know the narrative is sweeping mandate, and on some cases it was, but actually, if you look at the actual raw totals, it wasn't. And the narrow margin right now in the Senate and the House is something that you can't, the Senate more, is something you can't take you can't take lightly, because you're going to get the Murkowskis, you're going to get the Susan Collins, you're going to the Republicans that vote a lot of times with the Democrats. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a lot of them that are not going to just rubber stamp these people through. So you have to be careful about that.
That's a good point.
Speaking of that, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, went to Mar-a-Lago. He just had a brief comment on how the meeting went with Donald Trump from the media at the end. This is cut 7. Go. Coming out of the elevator. It was an excellent conversation. In case you.
If there's one guy that makes my skin crawl more than Gavin Newsom, like, you just look at Gavin and you think, total used car salesman. You just can't buy a word he says. It's probably Trudeau. Wasn't he the guy that was at a Taylor Swift concert 2 weeks ago as Toronto was burning down and they were dealing with all sorts of issues?
They have a lot of anti-Semitism happening in Montreal.
It was Montreal, maybe.
Yeah, it was Montreal. You know why? Because the French up there are a bunch of anti-Semitic creeps. That's why. It's because you let these French Canadians in there, these subhumans, who are all anti-Semitic. Uh-huh. Ugh, the Jews, VV. Yeah. God, I hate. Sorry.
It's funny. Trump says 25% tax, Canada. Get your immigration situation under wraps. Let's get the border secured, north and south. All of a sudden, I pop on Twitter on Friday and I see flight trackers from Trudeau from Canada to Florida. It's like, I wonder where he's going. These guys are all weasels.
That'll be fair. Trump can't really go to Canada.
Well, I wouldn't go to Canada either.
He can't because he's a convicted felon.
Oh, that's true. You can't travel out of the country. By the way, what's Canada's best export? We ought to get into that one day. You a Canadian beer guy?
No.
You don't like Molson?
No.
Labatt?
Montreal's a fine city. Like, it's cold and snowy, and I can't take the arrogance of the French Canadians, and they think they're better.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Vancouver?
No.
Toronto?
Yeah.
You have? I'd like to go to Toronto.
Toronto's a nice city.
Yeah.
Not a lot of French people there.
Right. I say Toronto's a lot like New York City. Not a lot of French people.
The French thing is becoming a joke.
It really is. You hate the French more than Al Bundy did in Married with Children.
Yeah, I can't take the arrogance and the anti-Semitism people.
When I think of Canada, Creeps. I don't know. I haven't been to Quebec, but I think of like Calgary. Think of it's beautiful in Calgary.
Yeah. What's the best time of year to go to Canada? What, summer?
Summertime? June.
Yeah.
June and July.
Phil Almquist says Rush is the best thing to come from Canada. I would agree with that.
Who?
The band Rush.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
today.
Democrat Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett predicts that Trump won't follow through with mass deportations.
Oh, really? Okay.
Cut five, Phil.
Expect mass protests in response to mass deportations?
I do, but I also don't expect mass deportations. I think that it sounds good and they look like the tough guys. And we know that that has really been their brand, is to basically look like the bullies that they are. But, you know, when you start to get into the nitty gritty and start to talk about details, that's when they're like, well, we didn't realize this or that. Or even when you start to talk about the cost. When we start to ramp up what the cost will look like for us to actually effectuate this, but then also look at the cost to our economy, I just don't really see it happening. As the mayor pointed out, he talked about those service workers and things like that. And someone who serves on the Agriculture Committee, I can tell you that I have talked to countless farmers that talk about the need for these migrant workers. So listen, unless your viewers are planning to send their kids to school so that they can go and work on the farms, then God bless. We can make sure that we keep American agriculture going. But the reality is that that is not who's been working the farms in recent years. It has been these migrants. When we look at our hospitality, it has been migrants. When we look at the restaurant workers, it has been migrants. And so, you know, when we start to look at the cost, not only coming directly out of our pocket to effectuate this, but also the cost to our economy, I just don't think that they're going to do it. And ultimately, he'll blame it on somebody else, or we're all supposed to forget, just like we forgot about the wall that Mexico was going to pay to build.
Nope.
So I think there's many layers to this, but on the surface, I think the easiest thing Trump can do of all the big issues that he was running on to get elected, the one that I think you can see the most significant impact as soon as possible, is immigration and the border. You start with executive orders and executive actions on day one. You seal off the dam. What does that mean? You shut the border down. So we're stopping the flow right away, and that gives us time to track down these individuals that have been here since Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Mayorkas let them in January of 2021. And look, is it going to be done overnight? No. But when you have somebody like Tom Homan, as passionate about the subject matter as he is, and oh, by the way, Dawn reported earlier in the news this morning, and I know it's not our city, but it is pretty symbolic. New York City, what was the number? 68,000, Dawn?
58,000? 58 plus.
So I've got to imagine that these people that work in this community, intelligence-wise, know who these people are and will be able to track them down. And look, you know, financially, do I want to spend the money that's being reported that it's going to cost to deport these people? No. On the surface, I don't. But you know what? It's a necessary evil. And again, ask yourself this. How much is your safety worth? You know, do you want to have your daughter be the next Lake and Riley? Do you want to end up having somebody get mugged, raped, murdered, beaten to a pulp? What price tag is that worth? That's the question you have to ask yourself.
Speaking of borders, our Tom Homan, he was on Fox News over the weekend. It says that the Trump administration will show America the atrocities happening at the U.S.-Mexico border for transparency. Roll it.
How many children weren't left unattended on the border? And how many terrorists didn't make in this country? Mm-hmm. President Trump's policies were humane. The Biden open borders policies is the most inhumane thing I've ever seen. They're killing Americans in record numbers, killing aliens in record numbers, and caused the biggest national security vulnerability I've seen in this nation. That is why I'm passionate about this. I'm glad they showed that video. My heart breaks for that little girl, but I've held dying children. I've held dead children. I've talked to girls as young as 9 years old that were raped multiple times by cartels. That's what happens in that border. And under Trump administration, we're going to show that to everybody. We're going to be very transparent so people understand why we have to do what we're doing.
Tom, real quick before I let you go, one of the arguments that the left makes is that if you start deporting people, we're going to have a labor shortage here in this country, that essentially everything hinges on the illegals that are here. Now, that's not necessarily true, because 4 years ago when Trump shut the border down, we had enough legal immigrants to do the jobs we needed, and the economy certainly didn't hit a standstill. As a matter of fact, when they come here illegally, they don't get permits to work right away because they won't be paying taxes. And so ultimately, they love using that argument, saying, oh, everything's going to shut down as soon as you start taking people out. But that is not true.
As I've testified many times in front of Congress, and Congress, do your job. do your job. It makes sense that our immigration laws, but illegal immigration is not a victimless crime. When you cause a crisis as big as you've caused the last 4 years that overwhelms the Border Patrol, where most agents are pulled off their security detail, that's when the fentanyl comes across that kills Americans. That's when the sex trafficking of women and children up 600%. That's when women and children die. So if you want to fix it, Congress, do your job. But until then, we're going to force the laws of this country. We're going to force the laws enacted by Congress and signed by a president, and we're not going to be apologetic about it. We need to secure the border and save lives.
Tom.
Absolutely love that guy. But by the way, he was referencing one of those children. Did you see the child? I think it was over Thanksgiving break. There was a picture, and of course, the face is blurred out. I think the New York Post had it. A two-year-old daughter coming across the border with no parents.
Yeah.
A two-year-old girl. I mean, that's the level of which he's talking about here, of exposing and showing all of these inhumane things that are occurring right there.
That little two-year-old in a pink little fuzzy fleece jacket.
Yeah.
And asking, where's mommy and daddy?
Yeah.
And the interpreter asking. And then, and by the way, she was with, 60 kids that they, thank God, they intercepted, but she was the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
And then her belief, where are your parents? Oh, my, you know, that she says mommy and dad. Like, she thinks they've been lying to her, telling her parents are in the United States.
Yep.
And so that makes you infer that this child was kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
And God only knows what they had intended.
It's a humanitarian disaster.
Oh, my. And I think this is the legacy of this administration.
Oh, no question.
You know, that years from now, they'll look at this and say, my God, to allow these children, 291,000 children missing in this country who are presumed, and that's the thing, they're saying they're presumed to be in harm's way or being human trafficked or, God forbid, with pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, these sicko pedophiles among us, you know, that's a task force in and of itself.
Yep.
But then think about the legacy of this administration allowing hundreds of thousands of these children to be collateral damage because basically they were apathetic to the fact that these kids and people may suffer with human trafficking at the expense of creating a whole new generation of blue voters.
Right.
And having the opposite effect, thank God.
And then you look at the workforce and, you know, well, they're not going to have enough people to take these jobs. Well, there was enough people to take the jobs that were legal immigrants the first time around. But you know what? Some of these jobs, you want people to take them? Some of these companies and these CEOs, stop taking your bonuses on a quarterly basis for a cool million, 1.2 million, and pay some of these people a livable wage. And those jobs would be filled up.
Yeah, in truth, there are some jobs that traditionally you can just create work visas. I mean, they're doing that now, but they need to supersize that.
Yep.
And so that's what I expect the Trump administration to do as they think about this. And that's part of, you know, Trump talking about the tariffs. And they say, well, how are these tariffs are not going to work? Well, because what he's saying is, okay, either you pay a tariff or you just bring your foreign company. You know, we sent all those jobs out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Put the factories here. Put the American people to work.
There you go.
And so you'll have all these new jobs. And then, yeah, if there are some jobs that need to be filled by work visas, create more visa programs.
Boom.
On the other side of the country, California will use tax dollars to fund legal fees for illegal migrants facing deportation. Senator Padilla was on one of the Sunday morning shows discussing this from California. This is what he said. This is Face the Nation. Go.
The governor has called a special session that will convene this week to set aside money to battle the Trump administration. Will some of that money also be set aside to protect migrants and undocumented immigrants in California as they seek either legal advice or continued legal financial backing to support their efforts to stay within California and the United States?
Yeah. Again, if the first Trump administration is any indicator, we know that there will continue to be a lot of fear in communities and communities that deserve to know what their rights are and what their rights are not. And so if it's legal assistance, legal advice, legal support, that's just the California way. We embrace our diversity. Our diversity is what's made our communities thrive and our economy thrive. And so we will assist families against the threats of the Trump administration.
I'm so sick of Democrats with the word fear. Oh, there's going to be lots of fear. Yeah, there should be fear. You should be fearful when you break the law. I mean, I don't know what's more egregious. The fact that Kamala Harris wanted to use taxpayer dollars to fund illegal immigrant sex changes while in prison, or my tax dollars, if I lived in California, going to illegal immigrants to pay for their legal fees. We pay these people's salaries, which is bad enough.
Yep.
Then I got to pay for your legal defense after you, first of all, came here illegally. So that's crime number one. And then you get caught, probably because you're committing crime number two, which is theft, burglary, rape, murder. And I got to fund that as well?
No. I have like four pages of stuff.
Yeah.
So can we take a break real fast?
Yeah.
And then on the other side, I have a man whose friends and family disowned him and uninvited him from Thanksgiving dinner because, you guessed it, he voted for Donald Trump.
I'm looking forward to the holiday horror stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, the Blue Sky COO was on talking about that app that all of the liberals are flocking away from, or they're flocking to, away from X, mm-hmm. Plus all the Ohio State, Michigan debacle that happened on Saturday.
What a disaster.
RFK Jr. in the shower. I have that, too.
You got Bobby in the shower?
Bobby in the shower. But we should get to that on the other side.
All right. We'll do that on the other side as we continue. Cut Sheet continues on this Monday, Cyber Monday. It's Kale and Company Talk Radio, 1210 WPHT.
It is Cyber Monday, and you'll find incredible savings on WhatACrock.com. WhatACrock.com's delicious, easy-to-prep meals make it so easy. I just put one of their meals into my slow cooker in the morning, go about my day. When I come home, dinner is waiting, just simmering. You walk in the house, Mom, what's for dinner? It smells so good. I want you to check out WhatACrock's huge Cyber Monday deals. By the way, 15% off site-wide, plus you get 75% off select meals. Get $10 in WhatACrock cash to use for yourself for every $20 you spend on gift cards. So, you know, you're sending a gift, but you get a little something for you, too. And then you get a $15 gift card with the purchase of any gift box and more. These are great gifts, by the way. People love them because you're sending something that it's like a home-cooked meal. You know, it's delicious. Unlike most meal kit companies, there is no prep required at all. Trust me on this. And the cleanup is quick and easy. It's as simple as dropping that meal into your slow cooker and voila, dinner is one and done. That's why I love WhatACrock. Discovered them in a little farmer's market not far from my home years ago. And they're local. They started locally, and now they're national for a reason, because they're delicious. No subscription required, no commitment required to order. So you can order what you want, when you want it. Do this, WhatACrock.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Make your first NBA bet a swish with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sports, but FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from who will win the game to how many points a player will score. Plus, check out newer bets like the number of dunks, assists, or three-pointers in the next 3 minutes. It doesn't matter if you tap into FanDuel before the game starts or after it already tipped off. You can pick up a W whenever. And now is the perfect time to get in on the action, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. First, just go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg for your chance to score $150 in bonus bets. Have a ball betting with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210, WPHT, 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Civics test.
Uh-oh.
Coming up 9:20 today. Are you smarter than an eighth grader?
Are you smarter than Nick Kale?
Are you smarter than Nick Kale? 85% of the audience is.
Uh-oh. Bernie Sanders was interviewed. You know how he can afford three homes on a $179,000 salary?
That's like, charge $95 for an autographed book?
Well,
for a man who hates capitalism.
Well, you know, his finances were brought up, and how a man who's literally spent his entire life, you know, making that salary for, you know, as a public servant.
Mm-hmm.
How does he afford three houses? Well, he tells you. Go.
Now, how did I get the money? You're right. I wrote two best-selling books, including this book on capitalism.
Yep.
It was New York Times bestseller for a while.
Anti-capitalism.
And also another book was a youth book. And that's, and I make, I don't know, $175,000 a year.
Hmm.
And that's more or less how I became the zillionaire that I am.
Oh, all right. Well,
the math doesn't add up, guys.
No, it
unless
doesn't.
He got... So, mm-hmm. So are you telling me he got like a $5 million advance or whatever for his books?
I was just going to ask you because it seems like everybody these days has either written a book or is writing one currently. Is the book industry that lucrative?
Yeah.
I mean, should we all start thinking about writing our own book, Dawn? I mean, I don't know. Do you want to write a book? I've got stories to tell.
I would love to read Dawn Stedley's book.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't know. I mean, this is how you get ahead.
Not happening.
The hell with $1.75 a year. I'm just going to write books.
Funniest thing that happened to me was when I had that talk show in Jersey, and this one, they brought a psychic on,
mm-hmm.
and I said, don't even, I'm married to Larry Menti. I don't want you to even say any of my secrets. Just zip it.
Right.
Just zip it.
So,
seriously, now look, if you make $175,000 a year, and let's say you've been making that for 30 years, you're probably going to be relatively well off in your life. But you ain't going to be a zillionaire. You ain't going to be Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. $2.5 million in his, that was his advance. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm looking Forbes.
To write a book on anti-capitalism. It's just, it's so.
And yes, I'm being facetious. I know how Bernie's made his money. Just like all these hacks that go in there and walk out with gazillions because of insider trading. Allegedly, it's just speculation. But, I mean, I guess the other question would be, and I'm being honest when I ask this, you know, what's his wife do? I mean, does his wife make $200,000 a year?
She's had book deals, too, okay. Just this year. She had not as much.
Right.
It's not- just this year she had about a $100,000 book advance.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it ain't cheap. It ain't cheap to live in Vermont.
No.
Either.
No.
Like it's the whitest, you know,
yeah.
area.
Mm-hmm.
Not cheap.
Big wealthy cabins.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not cheap to live up there. Yeah.
No.
The man has three places.
Look, I mean, we all know what's going on with these politicians with the stock market. But the reality is this. I don't like that's the game. I hate it. I hate the fact that it is the way it is. But that's the way it is. The thing, just don't insult my like, don't be sitting here talking about, you know, hating capitalism for years and years and years as a socialist, writing books, but yet that you were the biggest benefactor of capitalism, Bernie.
Yep.
You might be the biggest hypocrite in all of politics because he is known like the when you say Bernie Sanders, what comes to mind, right?
Yeah, but
his disdain for capitalism.
But I don't mind as much if people get a book deal and it's these numbers are released. The problem, they do need to crack down on the loopholes surrounding the insider trading.
Right.
Even though they have claimed that they cracked down on it, it's not
right.
good enough. And we know why they haven't changed those rules.
No.
And that would take bipartisan support.
Right. And remember what remember when Trump said it and Chappelle mm-hmm. echoed it at that show? He's like, you know, don't ridicule me. I'm paraphrasing here, but you have taken advantage of all of the same loopholes that I have, and you have the ability to change it, but you won't, right?
This is a little bit more of a visual, but Nick, if you can describe what's happening here. This is cut four, Phil. This is a staffer for New York City Mayor Eric Adams' Office of Special Projects and Community Events.
Mm.
Another job, I'm sure we can...
Another job we just created on the fly.
I'm sure we can get rid of this job, too. This is Nala Sutherland, okay? And she was seen over the weekend on the streets of New York ripping down Israeli hostage posters.
Another one of these clowns.
Okay. By the way, she's been tasked, her job for these special projects and community events, she's been tasked with bridging cultural divides.
Oh, so she's trying to create unity.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Roll this.
Is there a reason you're taking those down? Those are hostages. They're
yanking
taking
them all
terrace.
Down.
Is there a reason mm-hmm. you're taking them down?
Right off the poles or on the street corner.
Here.
Yeah. Oh,
no!
Oh, swiped at the phone.
That's assault, actually.
Uh-huh.
You know that, right?
Earbuds in the ear, not listening.
That's
yep. And jaywalking across the street. Boy, I tell you what. I thought we were past that. Seems so 2023, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about all those videos?
Yeah.
They were happening here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Outside of the little shops and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
People walking. Remember the one group that was sitting there? I think it was a dude that started filming the two women, and then they sat down at a little table on the sidewalk to eat their lunch or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and he kept interviewing them, and they were getting real hostile towards the line of questioning.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine, forget being in a public position like that lady is, where her job is supposed to be basically to promote unity, right, and not create division.
What a job.
And she's walking around yanking down those signs. I've never been inclined once in my life, in just the private world that I live in, to yank down anybody's signs.
Yep, agreed.
You should be slapped for that.
Well, we're not.
Slapped with a fine.
We're not advocating that.
No, of course not.
Slap with a fine. Thank you, Dawn.
Yeah.
Dawn.
Financial slappage.
By the way, I'm going to play a video that's a little bit more visual again. So everybody on YouTube right now, thank you for watching. Please hit the like button and hit the subscribe button. It's all free if you have not done so yet. All of you watching, hit the like button and hit the subscribe button. There's a big difference between the people watching and the amount of likes, which means maybe we need to do a better job. I don't know.
You got to get back to pandering.
I know. But make sure you hit the subscribe button too, please. This is Cheryl Hines, the wife of RFK Jr., is promoting, because everybody has a grift these days, is promoting a line of Maha candles for her self-care products. The company is Hines & Young.
Okay.
In a short video she posted on her story on the platform Friday, I guess this is on Facebook, the Curb Your Enthusiasm star hawked candles for Black Friday while Kennedy showered behind her.
Ah, oh, jeez. I have to be the one to describe this? Can't Dawn take this one?
Well, if you can't. I mean,
okay.
Her head is covering up his naughty parts.
All right. Viewer discretion is advised.
I hate these two, too. I can't.
The Kennedys are the French. Only one can stay.
I can't take these
who
two.
Who will stock or pick?
Like a candle? Like, oh, God, can you be any more nauseating? These candles will make you healthy.
I thought scented candles were bad for you.
You know, it doesn't make you healthy, or infidelity. But I wouldn't know anything about that.
Oh, you're gonna get you're gonna get comments in the YouTube.
I don't care. All right, roll it, Phil.
You can't take a shower. I'm doing a video.
Bobby's washing his hair.
No, I'm doing.
Look at that.
You've got to give me a second. I'm doing a video.
Don't move, Cheryl. Yeah. Do not move.
Okay. Honey. 60% off.
There you
Let
go.
Me ask
60%
you,
off.
What exactly, other than the fact that they're both freaks, what is the point of going? Is that live? What is the story? Is that recorded and then posted?
Yeah.
Why do you have to do that while your husband's butt naked in the shower? It looks like Uncle Frank in Home Alone.
I think it was a bit.
Yeah, it was a bit. They were trying to be kind of funny.
Yeah, hysterical.
I don't know. The Kennedys are just not funny. I mean, I'm rooting for Bobby to do good work, you know.
You know,
at the NIH,
you know what would have been funnier.
Shower.
You know what would have been funnier if Cheryl Hines would have walked in and Olivia Nuzzi would have been showering with RFK Jr. Now that would have been funny.
Well, then I would
or
have
Larry David,
you know.
Who she stars with. It just Larry David should have written the bit for her. You know what I mean? She's not. Yeah. She's trying to be funny. She's not Larry David. She's not funny.
Wasn't there reports out there that Cheryl was gonna ditch Bobby if she rode with Trump? Whatever happened to that proclamation?
Not so much.
I'm freezing my ass off up here.
Yeah, she's an opportunist just like the rest of them.
How old is Cheryl Hines? She's still very attractive. I'm going to be creeped out by Bobby now. I'm going to picture Bobby in the shower tonight.
Former FDA commissioner and Pfizer board member Scott Gottlieb, speaking of RFK Jr., says America may see a polio outbreak if RFK Jr. is confirmed.
Oh.
Cut 8. Phil, go.
Joining us right now to talk about all of this and what it means to the sector is Dr. Scott Gottlieb. Of course, he is the former FDA commissioner under the last Trump administration. He's also a CNBC contributor. And, Scott, you're still a board member at Pfizer as well?
That's right.
Okay, and a board member at Pfizer. Let's jump into this. And why don't we start with the incoming administration's choices, because there's been a lot of consternation, a lot of people who have said, wait a second, with RFK Jr. heading things up, What do you say as somebody who served in the last Trump administration?
Yeah, look, well, I have deep concerns about Kennedy's stated intentions to roll back core public health protections, particularly as it relates to childhood vaccines. He's brought in a very experienced team, a lot of lawyers from the Children's Defense Fund, which is his anti-vax organization. These guys are capable. I think they're deadly serious. They've been very clear about their intentions. And I think sometimes you have to take people at their word. And just to sort of level set where we are right now, we had 5,000 cases of pertussis last year. We're going to have 30,000 cases this year. Pregnant women, for the first time in a very long time, now need to think about pertussis as a risk during pregnancy. And if you look at vaccination rates for MMR, there are states that really are the tipping point in terms of reduced vaccination rates. Herd immunity is achieved at a level of about 95% coverage. If you look at Idaho, it's at 79%. You look at Alaska and Wisconsin, 84%, Minnesota, 87%, Florida, Colorado, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Utah at 88%. When I was at FDA in 2018, 2019, all those states were in the low 90s. If we lose another 5%, we're going to be in a position where we see distributed outbreaks of measles, and that could easily happen in the next few years.
MMR, measles, mumps, rubella, pertussis is whooping cough?
Whooping cough.
So you're a physician. What do you worry about? What do you see?
Well, what I worry about is that we're at a tipping point where we're going to start to see epidemics of diseases that have long been vanquished. And God forbid we see polio reemerge in this country. This could happen in the next 4 years, especially with MMR. The measles vaccination rates have dipped to a point where we're at a tipping point right now. Another 5% down and we'll be there.
So, first of all, Scott Gottlieb still on the board at Pfizer, so vested interest in continuing to see profits for Pfizer, so I almost want to discredit almost everything he says. By the way, you talk about vaccination rates down since 2019. Let's connect the dots. Why would that be? Oh, because we were told that a vaccine was 100% safe and effective, and the virus dies with you the moment you're vaccinated. You can't get sick again. You can't spread it. All lies or complete inaccuracies. Either way, there's no wonder why vaccine rates are going down. And look, some of them are very beneficial. I think they should be your choice. And we live in a country where big food and big pharma have killed countless Americans. I think, you know, as unhealthy as this country is, we could use somebody like Bobby Kennedy. And if it doesn't work out, well then, oh well, we go back to being unhealthy again. What's the downside to Bobby Kennedy? And by the way, he's going to face unbelievable pushback.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about the challenges in 2 years. Bobby Kennedy is going to have so much red tape to deal with his group of lawyers. So what he's able to achieve versus the fear of polio in 4 years, there won't be no polio. I'm more worried about another pandemic than I am polio.
I mean, guys.
Bird flu.
Here's the thing. Well, if we want to keep drinking raw milk, bird flu might actually be an issue. Here's the thing, though, about we can't not vaccinate for polio and measles, mumps, and rubella. Like, that would take, yes, it could be your choice not to do it, but we talk all the time about herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a bunch of people that are, you know, these vaccines wane over time. Mm-hmm. So you're going to start seeing more cases of this popping up. And measles is incredibly deadly, especially for kids. So, we need to have those vaccinations. We do.
Like the certain vaccines that your kids get right away so that they can go to school. I understand that. I'm not anti-vax by any stretch, but like, some of these vaccines that are just shoved down our throat that are totally optional. I mean, I'm not taking some of them.
We should break again, but I have the guy who was uninvited for Thanksgiving dinner by his friends and family because he voted for Trump. We can get to that on the other side if you want to.
I'd love to hear some Thanksgiving stories as well out there from our audience if you had to deal with any awkward or heated conversations.
Heated.
For the first time, 3 weeks removed from the election results. 855-839-1210. We continue with part three of the cut sheet. Told you Stalker had a bunch.
I do.
Woo. We're back after this.
You've heard me talk about Chapman windows, doors, and siding for years now. How much I just love the Chapman family team and the work that they've done in my home. So, you know by now, if I needed windows, doors, siding, stucco remediation, I would only trust the Chapman family team. They are now running the special holiday promotion. You're going to love this. It's from now until December 31st, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding offering 20% off of James Hardy Siding and any doors or windows purchased as part of this project. So you've seen James Hardy's site. It's beautiful. The James Hardy, the fiber cement siding, it will not burn. They're engineered to protect against damage from things like fire, water, extreme weather, pests, and, of course, time. Take advantage of this fantastic promotion before it's too late. Whether you or somebody you know, maybe you're looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, hardware, all those different choices, or maybe siding choices or stucco remediation, they're experts in that as well. Please give Chapman Windows a call. You can text them. They're local, they're like-minded, and they're listening right now. 610-431-8898. Visit them online, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com for all the details. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Family and friends disowned and uninvited him from Thanksgiving dinner because he voted for Trump. You can play this, Phil.
It's cold.
Family, I'm sad to announce that I have nowhere to spend Thanksgiving. All the people from the comment section that said I could come over, I reached out to them in the DMs, but I didn't get a reply. And honestly, I had two people in mind that said that I could actually come, but they actually took away their invite because other family members weren't okay and comfortable with me being in the house because I'm a stranger. So it's not their fault. I don't blame you guys. MAGA family, I still love you. I know letting a stranger into a home is really uncomfortable for a lot of people, but it is what it is. And thank you for all the support. It's sad to spend Thanksgiving alone, but I'm going to go to the soup kitchen down the street and just see if I can just have a meal there. But thank you all for everything. I also don't have a car. I'm not mobile. So if you're asking me to go somewhere that's more than an hour out of my reach, there was no way that I would be able to get there. But thank you for everything.
Man, I guess there's a lot of people that took Joy Reid's opinion to heart, saying do not extend offers. Do not allow people over that voted differently than you. I got to tell you, I did not have any issues whatsoever. Surprisingly, a very low-key Trump victory Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
No drama.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was refreshing. It really was. Did you have any drama, either of you?
Nope.
Any
nothing.
Liberal versus conservative bickering over nothing. The results?
It was great. It was nice.
Nope. Everybody's like, pass the potatoes.
Okay.
Pass the stuffing.
All right. I mean, I had a little grin on my face, but, you know, there's football on. I was happy.
So funny.
Jimmy Matthews says it'll still work, Greg. The site is a pay site to the civic schools.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But the loopholes I had to jump around just to get in to take the damn test.
Let me end with this. Did either of you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade on Thursday?
We were actually going to go if it wasn't for the rain.
So wait, you were going to go to the ABC
one in Philadelphia?
One in Philadelphia.
Yeah, no,
he's
New
talking
York.
About New York.
This is the one in New York.
Oh, okay. No, I did not.
I saw this over the weekend, and I just wanted to play. This is more of a visual thing. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD if you want to see this. This is a Macy's Thanksgiving Parade from 1927.
Oh, my God.
This looks like something out of my worst nightmare dreams.
Okay.
The costumes that these people... It looks like a horror movie, honestly.
I was going to say, without seeing it, let me guess, everybody is skinny and looks like they're happy and having a good time?
No, the costumes are weird. Everybody's all dressed up because, you know, that was the time. But
right.
Check this out. Roll
97 years ago.
Yeah.
Look at this. Even got an intro.
Look at that. Look at these. What?
They look like cavemen and then people with lions.
I mean, this is really cool to see. Like, I'm glad there's footage of this.
Look at this.
They have, like, horses and buggies.
Yeah,
but look at these. Look at this. This looks like some weird acid trip.
Can't relate to that, but I'll take your word.
Doesn't it look like something out of a horror movie? Really? Like, look at this.
Yeah. Is that a pig or is that a cat? It's just basically big heads.
Big heads.
Everybody's
yeah.
got fake big heads.
Big heads.
All right, here comes like a float. Oh, that's on the wheels.
They're coming around scaring the living you-know-what out of kids.
Yep.
Look at this giant dog.
A couple of guys with, what was that, fake rifles. Yeah. Yeah, is everybody back in the day wore the trench coat. Nice long coat.
I just thought this was cool.
Here comes Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah. Man, look at this.
Unbelievable.
Look how clean the streets are.
I know.
Everybody had polio. It was a wonderful time.
Maybe polio's not so bad. I haven't seen one fat person.
Scarlet fever.
There's a young guy with a mustache. Look, there's not one. Not one fat person.
People lived to the ripe old age of 35 back in the day.
Seriously, look at all these people.
I know.
Does anybody look like they're out of shape or obese? Not a single one, standing or walking.
This is amazing. It's amazing. I don't know. I saw this over the weekend.
The horses. Just
like, I got to bring this to the country.
Yeah.
I just think it's. Oh, man.
I'll tell you what, you laugh, but I guarantee you a lot of people were a lot happier then than they are now.
It's true. Phil, can we play this without sound throughout the commercial break?
Yeah. How long is this? Just keep it rolling.
It's like 5 minutes, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
For the visual people out mm-hmm. there who want to stick with us on YouTube, we'll keep this rolling through the commercial.
It's a great point, Dawn. Yeah. No trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
No graffiti.
Yep.
Wow. Make America 1927 again.
I mean, you died if you had a fever, but sure.
What the hell?
It was a good time.
Die of a fever or die from diabetes, have your foot cut off, and then have a heart attack.
That's a good point. All right, let's keep rolling this through the commercial break.
All right, you continue on YouTube. You'll get the 1927 Macy's Parade.
It's amazing.
If you're on the radio side, you'll get some commercials. It's Kale and Company. 9 o'clock hour is actually underway. We'll come back and officially kick it off. Big three, and then the 8th grade civics test that, don't worry, you're not going to be able to see because I know you're not going to pay for the Washington Post.
The 9 o'clock hour brought to you by Winter Ford. The Winter Ford Cherry Hill Get Ready for Holiday Sales event is here. See Dino Rucci and his team for discounts and rebates of up to $10,000 on new Fords. Call 800-428-4000 for details. That's 800-428-4000 for details. Check your savings at winterford.com. That's winterford.com.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.